إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة في الله، كلمة اليوم أو محاضرة اليوم عن موضوع الأخوة الإسلامية ومقوماتها وما ينبغي أن تكون عليه.
بسم الله، الحمد لله. شيخ صالح صحيمي حفظه الله started with خطوة تهاجة and then after that saying our talk for today or our lecture for today is Islamic brotherhood and those matters that which support it and the method or the manner in which brotherhood is supposed to be. The proper manner in which brotherhood is supposed to be.
نتحدث عن هذه الأخوة من واقع ما دل عليه الكتاب والسنة وما عليه سلف الأمة حتى تجلى تلك الأخوة في أبرز صورة وأحسن حال.
We speak about this brotherhood as it has presented as it has been presented as reality in the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and shown in the lives of the companions of the prophet sallallahu wa sallam alayhi so that this brotherhood will become something clear and shown in its most purest form.
فقد كان الناس قبل مبعث نبينا محمدًا قبل مبعث نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في جهالة جهلاء وضلالة عمياء ليس لهم كيان يجمعهم وليس لهم أساس يربطهم كانوا متفرقين القوي يأكل الضعيف والغني يأكل الفقير والقبيلة القوية تعتدي على الضعيفة وهكذا.
The people in pre-Islamic Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic, which is called Jahiliyyah, before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, were in a state of darkness, in a state of ignorance, in a state of blindness. They were split and separate. There was nothing that would gather them or connect them to one another. There was no foundation that would bring them together, so that the strong overtook the weak, the rich trespassed over the poor. And one tribe that was strong or a tribe that was strong will overcome a weak tribe or misuse or abuse or trespass or transgress over a weak tribe.
وبينما كان الناس على هذا الحال تسودهم شريعة الغاب ولا تجمع بينهم رابطة ولا تؤلفهم أخوة ولا يجمعهم كيان امتن الله تبارك وتعالى علينا ببعث نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم ليخرجنا به الله تبارك وتعالى من الظلمات إلى النور ومن الضلالة إلى الهدى ومن العمى إلى البصيرة.
And while the people were in this state of ignorance, of darkness, of separation, and of splitting, having nothing of law or legislation that would gather them, everyone separate and on his own way, Allah Ta'ala blessed us with the sending of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who through his message and through his way and through his guidance, by the grace of Allah, took us out of the darkness into the light and out of blindness and gave us the ability to see.
فأرسل الله رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون ولو كره المشركون. يصور الله تبارك وتعالى حال الناس قبل مبعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعده في سورة آل عمران بقول الله تبارك وتعالى: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. وسنبين معنى هذه الآية إن شاء الله.
So Allah تبارك وتعالى sent Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم with the huda, with the guidance, and the deen al-haq, the deen of truth, that will overcome all other religions, that will overcome everything. And this is even if the disbelievers are adverse, or even if those who associate partners to Allah are adverse. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala speaks about this matter in Surah Ali Imran, speaks about the state that the believers were in, and the state that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala had brought them to, when He said, "And hold all of you together to the rope of Allah, and do not separate. Remember that you were enemies, and Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala gathered between your hearts, and you became by His blessing brothers. And remember that you were up on the pit of the hellfire, all but falling therein, but Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala saved you from it." In this, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala explains for a people who reflect.
وهذا تصوير عجيب لما كان عليه الحال قبل بعثه صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعده. فقد أمر الله تعالى بالاعتصام بحبله المتين وصراطه المستقيم، وهو القرآن الكريم والسنة النبوية المطهرة، في قوله تعالى: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. فإنه يبين هنا أن طريق اجتماع الكلمة وطريق تنمية هذه الأخوة إنما هو الاعتصام بحبل الله المتين وصراطه المستقيم، ثم ينهى عن التفرق المضاد لهذا الاعتصام، فإن التفرق لا يتفق مع الاعتصام والتمسك بكتاب الله تعالى وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتطبيق ما يقتضيه ذلك قولا وعملا واعتقادا.
And this that Allah Ta'ala has shown us or expressed to us in this clear picture that He has shown in this ayah is that which the believer should be on after the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is that they must all hold on to the rope of Allah together. And the rope of Allah refers to the book of Allah tabaraka ta'ala and refers to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not separate. So this is showing that the key to brotherhood, that will keep brotherhood strong, that which is the foundation for brotherhood, is sticking to the book and the sunnah collectively. Then Allah said, "And do not separate." For separation is the opposite of sticking to the book and sticking to the sunnah. It does not go in connection with sticking to the book and sticking to the sunnah. It is at variance with sticking to the book and sticking to the sunnah.
ثم يبين تبارك وتعالى ممتنا على عباده ما كانوا عليه من حال قبل الإسلام، ويذكرهم بهذه النعمة، فيقول تعالى: واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء، أي قبل الإسلام كانت العداوة على أشدها بين الناس قبل الإسلام، إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم، أي كان بعضكم يقتل بعضا ويأكل بعضكم بعضا ويعتدي بعضكم على بعض، فجمعكم الله بهذا الدين وامتن عليكم بنعمة الإسلام التي هي أعظم نعمة يمتن الله بها على عباده.
So after Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala begin the verse by saying, "Hold all of you together to the rope of Allah and do not separate," he reminds of the condition, the state of the Muslims before Islam. That the state or condition of the Muslims before Islam is that they were enemies, that they hated one another. This was before Islam. That they killed one another, ate one another, transgressed over one another. And then Allah Ta'ala blessed them with Islam. And Islam is the greatest blessing. There's no blessing greater than Islam.
ثم قال: فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا. هو الذي جمع القلوب بعد التفرق، وجمع الناس بعد التمزق، وألف بين قلوبهم كما قال تبارك وتعالى: وألف بين قلوبكم لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. لا يمكن أن يجمع الناس على اختلاف طبقاتهم ولغاتهم وأشكالهم وألوانهم وأوطانهم إلا بأمر عظيم يجتمعون عليه، وأي أمر أعظم من أن يجمعهم الله تبارك وتعالى بالإسلام، حتى أصبحوا بفضل الله ونعمته ومنته إخوانا متحابين متآلفين في الله تبارك وتعالى. ولذلك قال: فأصبحتم فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا، أي جمع بينكم وجعلكم إخوة متحابين في الله جل وعلا.
Then Allah تبارك وتعالى speaks about the blessing upon the believers when He says, and then He brought your hearts together. And then He brought your hearts together. This is a fact, He said, that only Allah تبارك وتعالى can bring their hearts together. Only Allah تبارك وتعالى can bring their hearts together and bring unity between the hearts. Because in order for people to connect and come together, given their different levels, given their different races, given their different languages, given their different lands that they come from, they would have to gather upon a great matter, and there's nothing greater than the matter of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala is the one that gathered the hearts together. And to those hearts that hated one another, began to love one another. So He gathered them upon love between each other with this brotherhood. And He spoke about this, He said, when He gathered between their hearts. It is impossible to gather between the hearts except with what Allah has revealed of Islam. And this is why Allah says, and it is He who gathered their hearts, and were you to spend all of that which is upon earth, you would not have gathered between their hearts, but Allah gathers between their hearts. And then He said, and you became by the blessing of Allah brothers, ikhwanan. You became by the blessings of Allah brothers. That after there were hatred and enmity, now there is love and there is brotherhood.
ثم يذكرنا تبارك وتعالى بما كنا عليه من خطر لولا فضل الله تبارك وتعالى، وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار، أي كان الناس قبل أن ينزل الله ويبعث الله نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وقبل أن يكرمهم بالإسلام كانوا على شفا الهاوية، كانوا في خطر، وأي خطر أعظم من النار وجه جهنم والعياذ بالله وإياكم منها، فهذا خطر عظيم. فيذكرنا الله بهذه النعمة أنه أنقذنا من النار، وكيف أنقذنا من النار؟ بأن جعلنا إخوة متحابين ببذل بعثة وإرسال نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ودعوته الناس إلى الإسلام الذي لا يقبل الله دينا سواه.
Then Allah Tabarak Ta'ala reminds us of the condition or the state that we are in before Islam, before He sent Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Islam, and that is that we are on the pit of the hellfire. We're upon the edge of the hellfire, all but falling in. He said, and what is a greater danger than this? That one is about to fall within the hellfire. That one is about to fall into the hellfire. May Allah, He said, protect all of us from it. Nothing is greater danger than that. But then Allah Ta'ala in His infinite wisdom and mercy blessed us by first giving us the sending down the revelation and giving us the brotherhood and the love between one another and making us brothers, and by us sticking to that Islam which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called to and practiced and gave da'wah to.
ثم يبين أن هذا كله هداية من الله ومنة من الله تبارك وتعالى، حيث بين لنا الخير وبين لنا الحق وبين لنا التقى وبين لنا طريق الهدى من طريق الضلال، بأن امتن علينا بمبعث نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم: وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها. كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته، بين لنا الآيات حيث ذكرنا بالنعمة التي تفضل بها علينا، فعلينا أن نشكره عليها حق الشكر بالاستقامة على طاعته والعمل بما يرضيه.
And Allah تبارك وتعالى shows us that the greatest matter is the fact that He has guided us, and that guidance is from Him سبحانه وتعالى. And based upon the guidance that He has revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we realized what was haq, what was truth, from that which was false, and realized that which was righteousness, and that which was correct, and that which was uprightness, and that this is the greatest blessing that Allah tabarak ta'ala guided us to this. And that's why He said, and here Allah tabarak ta'ala explains His verses to you, so that you may reflect upon this. That He reminds us of all of these matters in His verses, so that we may reflect upon it, and so that we may be grateful to Allah tabarak ta'ala for the blessings of His guidance, and the blessing of the brotherhood, and the blessing of the wisdom or the guidance that He has given regarding sticking to His book and to His sunnah.
وقال الله تبارك وتعالى ممتنا بهذه الأخوة الإيمانية إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون.
And Allah تبارك وتعالى also said regarding the brotherhood, verily the believers are brothers, so reconciliate or make matters smooth or good between you and your brothers, and this is so that Allah tabarak ta'ala will have rahmah, will have mercy upon you.
وقال تبارك وتعالى والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولى ببعض في كتاب الله أي هم أولى ببعضهم من سائر الناس ولو كان بعض الناس أقرب إليهم فالرابطة العظيمة التي تربط بينهم القوية أو التي تتحطم أمامها سائر الروابط إنما هي أخوة الإسلام التي تبقى وحدها أمام جميع الروابط والتحديات.
And the verse of the Quran which Allah says the believers, men to women, the believing men and believing women, that they are first and foremost one to another, meaning that their connection to one another is first and foremost before any other connection. That even though they may have other connections to people, to family and other things, that the greatest connection that they have is the connection of brotherhood. All other connections are beneath it or below it and are not of the importance of the relationship of the brotherhood, that has, the connection that has been made through brotherhood.
وبين الله سبحانه وتعالى أن التفاضل بين الناس إنما هو بالتقوى بعد أن بين أنهم خلقوا من ذكر وأنثى. قال الله جل وعلا يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. فقد بين في هذه الآية الكريمة أن الميزان عند الله هو التقوى وأن المؤمنين إخوة وأن أكرمهم عند الله هو أتقاهم وأن التفاضل إنما هو بتقوى الله جل وعلا لا بالأنساب ولا بالأوطان ولا باللغات ولا بالألوان ولا بالألسن وإنما الفضل إنما هو بتقوى الله تبارك وتعالى والعمل بما يرضيه.
And Allah تبارك وتعالى after explaining the fact that the creatures are created from male and female, He explained that the closest or the most respected in front of Allah tabarak ta'ala is the one who possesses taqwa. And this is wherein Allah says, verily is He who has made you male and female, created you from male and female, and then made you into tribes, nations into tribes, so that you may know one another. Verily those who are the most respected or the closest or the most honored in the sight of Allah are those who have taqwa. And verily Allah tabarak ta'ala is the one who has is all knowing and has all the information, or khabir, the one who has all of the information. And in this regard, He says that here Allah tabarak ta'ala shows that taqwa is the key matter. That the one who fears Allah tabarak ta'ala the most, he is the one who is the most respected, and he is the one closest to Allah tabarak ta'ala. So that the connection is of taqwa, and that the believers are brothers one to another, and that they are possessors of taqwa. And the one who has the most taqwa, he is the best of the believers. That is not a matter of race, it's not a matter of nation, it's not a matter of tribe or lineage or color, it's not a matter of what place they may come from, that the issue is the issue of the fear of Allah تبارك وتعالى.
هذه الأخوة العظيمة والرابطة التي لا فضل لأحد على أحد فيها إلا بالتقوى، يقول فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا فضل لعربي على عجمي، ولا لعجمي على عربي، ولا لأبيض على أسود، ولا لأسود على أبيض، إلا بالتقوى. فميزان التفاضل هو تقوى الله تبارك وتعالى لا غير.
So the condition of preference is due to taqwa. The one who fears Allah tabarak ta'ala the most is the one to be preferred the most. And in this regard, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no virtue over an Arab over a non-Arab, or over a non-Arab over an Arab, or over a white over a black, over a black over a white, that the preference is to be given to the one who has taqwa. The one who has taqwa. So this is the scale that Allah tabarak ta'ala weighs things with. It is a matter of who fears Him subhanahu wa ta'ala the most.
والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قوى هذه الأخوة فآخى بين المهاجرين والأنصار وجعل المسلمين متآلفين متحابين، يعني شعارهم هي الأخوة والتواد، مثل المسلمين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل الجسد الواحد، إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى. تعرفون الجسم قد يصاب بجرح يسير فتنتاب فتصيب صاحب ذلك الجرح حمى تأثرا بما أصاب ذلك الجزء اليسير من الجسم. فكذلك الأخوة الإسلامية إذا أصاب شرخ جهة فإنها تعني الجميع، وإذا تضررت جهة فإنها تعني الجميع، وإذا مرض أحد فإنه يعني الجميع، مثل المسلمين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل الجسد الواحد، جسم الإنسان إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strengthened this brotherhood. He strengthened this brotherhood. For with the Muhajirun, those who had migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar, those who were the supporters once they arrived at Medina, he made between them brothers. He made amongst them brothers one to another. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized the fact that there should be love between the believers, and that there should be affection between the believers. And he gave an example of this when he said, the example of the believers one to another is the example of a body, that if it has some injury, then the whole body suffers from the fever and stays up the whole night because of the fever from this injury. He said, here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of the believers in regard to their love for one another, in regards to their mercy for one another, in regards to their affection one to another, is like one body. He says, you know, if the body has a small injury to it, that an infection may result from that, and therefore the body will experience a fever, meaning that the whole body will experience a fever due to that particular small injury. So therefore, if this is how the Muslim ummah is, that if one part of the ummah is in a problem or difficulty, that it concerns all of the Muslims. That if one part of the Muslim ummah is in some hardship, that it concerns the rest of the Muslims, just as the body, just as one body is. And this is why the example is in their love of one another, their mercy of one another, and their affection for one another as one body.
يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان يشد بعضه بعضا. فيجب على المسلمين أن يعنوا بهذه الأخوة. والبنيان أي الجدران المتلاحمة المتلاصقة، إذا انهد منها جدار أثر على بقية الجدران. فكذلك المسلمون إذا انهار بناؤهم أو تضرر بعضهم أو أوذي بعضهم أو شرد بعضهم أو طرد بعضهم من دياره أو أوذي بأي شكل من أشكال الأذى، فإن ذلك يعني المسلمين جميعا، إذ أنهم يجب أن يتألموا بآلامهم ويأملوا بآمالهم ويجتهدوا في نصرتهم ومساعدتهم وعونهم بعد عون الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the believers are like one building, supporting one another. And he says this is an important example for the brotherhood and the importance of the strength of brotherhood. That a building is composed of walls that come together and that are built together. And if one wall falls down, then it affects the whole building. Similarly, it's the case with the brotherhood of the Muslims. That if one part of the Muslim ummah is hurt, or is in difficulty, or is oppressed, or is, as he said, kicked out of their lands or whatever, then the other Muslims who are part of this one building should be concerned about them, should help them, should support them to the utmost to alleviate the pains and the trials or the tribulations of their brothers.
وَإِنَّ أَعْدَاءَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَبِخَاصَةٍ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ قَدْ بَذَلُوا كُلَّ مَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ في تفتيت هذه الأخوة يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون ولكنها ستبقى بإذن الله مهما انتابها من ضعف في بعض الأوقات إذا عاد المسلمون إلى دينهم وطبقوا شرع ربهم وفهموا نصوص الكتاب والسنة ووقفوا عند حدود الله سبحانه وتعالى.
And the enemies of Islam have always tried to wipe this brotherhood out, to erase it, in the prior times and especially in the times that we are living in. And this is, as Allah say, they seek to put out the light of Allah, but Allah will not allow except that His light be completed. So no matter what they do, they will not be able to erase this brotherhood, for it will always be there, even though at some times it may be affected to some negligence or because of some weakness, it will always be there. And no sooner than the Muslims understand the book of their Lord and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and stay within the limits that Allah has set, the limits of Islam, then the brotherhood will be strengthened and the brotherhood will always remain and will always stay.
وَإِنَّ مِن مُقَوِّمَاتِ تِلْكَ الْأُخُوَّةِ وَأُسُسِ بِنَائِهَا وَطُرُقُ طَرِيقِ ثَبَاتِهَا أَوَّلًا الْعِنَايَةُ بِتَحْقِيقِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَتَصْفِيَتِهُ وَتَصْفِيَتِهِ من كل ما شابه من شوائب الشرك والبدع والمعاصي لأن هذا هو أساس الاجتماع وعدمه أساس الافتراق.
And one of the most important issues that strengthen tawheed, or that is a pillar, I mean strengthen brotherhood, that is a pillar of brotherhood, and that is the path to make it firm and consistent, is the issue of showing concern about tawheed and cleansing one's belief from all acts of shirk, and one's actions and belief from all bid'ah, and one's actions from all sin, because tawheed is the foundation for all brotherhood and all togetherness, just as the absence of tawheed is the basis for all separation and all enmity.
فتوحيد الله تبارك وتعالى هو الذي به تجتمع الكلمة وتتوحد الصفوف وعليه يقوم كيان الأمة وعليه تقوم وحدتها وعليه تتوحد صفوفها وبدونه لا يمكن لن تقوم لهم قائمة أبدا.
Tawheed is the issue that gathers the words of the Muslims into one word, that makes the, brings the ummah together as one ummah, that solidifies and brings oneness upon its ranks. It is Tawheed that is the foundation. Tawheed is the instrument that does all of that. For without tawheed, they will be never be able to come together, and never be able to have this oneness or this unity that they desire.
ومن مقومات هذه الأخوة محبة المسلمين المستقيمين على طاعة الله، فإن ذلك أوثق عرى الإيمان، كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوثق عرى الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله والموالاة في الله والمعاداة في الله. فكونك تحب أخاك لوجه الله تبارك وتعالى وتوالي على ذلك وتعادي عليه وتحب فيه وتبغض فيه، هذا هو الأساس الذي يقوم عليه كيان الأمة ويعيد إليها مجدها ووحدتها.
And another issue or matter that is of the principles of foundation and matters of strength for the brotherhood is the brothers loving one another, or that there be love for those brothers between one another, That one has a love for the individuals who are upon obedience to Allah. Those who are upon obedience to Allah, that there be love for them. And this is known as the strongest root of Iman. The most trustworthy and strongest root of Iman is that you love for Allah and you hate for Allah, you have loyalty for Allah, and you have enmity for Allah. So this is the basis of the brotherhood. That when a brother loves a brother, he loves him for the pleasure of Allah, and in accordance with the level of that brother in his obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
ومتى ضعفت الأخوة بين المسلمين وتمكن أعداء الإسلام من اختراق صفوفهم والتحريش بينهم وإعادتهم إلى الجاهلية الأولى إلى التعلق بالتراب والتعلق بالعصبية الجاهلية والتعلق بالعصبية القومية العرقية التي مقتها الله سبحانه وتعالى وجعل التفاضل إنما هو بالتقوى.
And when this brotherhood was weakened amongst the Muslims, then the enemies were able to come in and separate between the Muslims and to cause dissension and discord between the Muslims. And the Muslims began to revert in some areas, specifically this brotherhood, as if they were upon pre-Islamic Jahiliyyah, in a sense of going back to the issue of connecting themselves to dust or dirt or turab, connecting themselves to their nation, connect themselves to their tribe, connect themselves based upon their language or based upon their race or based upon what country they are from. All of this being, of course, from the issues of Jahiliyyah.
من مقومات هذه الأخوة وأسباب تنميتها وقوتها الفقه في الدين. فمتى فقه الناس دينهم الصحيح استطاعوا أن ينموا تلك الأخوة ويثبتوها بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى. وبقدر ما يقل العلم وينتشر الجهل بقدر ما تضعف الأخوة ويعني تكون ضعيفة ويتمكن أعداء الإسلام من الإسلام والمسلمين.
Another principle that was strengthened the Islamic Brotherhood and its foundation for it being strong and the basis for it being strong is fiqh fi al-deen, having understanding and knowledge regarding deen. That with knowledge of the deen, the brothers or the Muslim is able to nourish the brotherhood and strengthen the brotherhood and understand the importance of the brotherhood. But without knowledge of deen, when there is ignorance, there is not understanding of the concepts of brotherhood or the rights of brotherhood or how to nourish brotherhood, and the enemies of Islam are able to come in and separate the Muslims and cause enmity between them.
وليست الأخوة وليس من مقومات الأخوة تلك الشعارات التي تردد من الأغاني والأناشيد والموسيقى والحفلات وإقامة الأعياد المبتدعة وما إلى ذلك، فإن ذلك كله مما قلد فيه المسلمون أعداء الإسلام، فينبغي أن يعنوا بالأسس ولا يتعلقوا بهذه الشعارات التي لا تعد أن تكون كطحن القرون يسمع لها صوت ولا يوجد لها أثر، فينبغي لنا أن نعنى بذلك وأن نبتعد عن هذه الشعارات الزائفة التي لا تعود علينا بخير ولا تعود على المسلمين بخير أبدا، وإنما علينا أن نتجاوز ذلك كله وأن نسمو بأنفسنا إلى الأخوة الإسلامية الصحيحة القائمة على تطبيق كتاب الله تعالى وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم قولا وعملا واعتقادا.
الشيخ حفظه الله says, and the brotherhood is not or those matters that strengthen brotherhood and those matters that are foundation of brotherhood not to be mixed up with that which is common today of singing and Islamic, what is called Islamic nasheed and having parties and gatherings like that surrounding about these issues. For these are not the issues that will give nourishment and strengthen brotherhood, but rather this is something wherein the Muslims are following their enemies. They got it from their enemies and they are just practicing it. He said it does not bring any good to us. Matter of fact, it's just a sound that is heard that has no real effect behind it. But rather, the real brotherhood is in us practicing the book of Allah tabarak ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as understood by the first three generations of Islam in our knowledge and in our action and in our belief.
ولذلك بين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من أعظم الأسس التي تقوى بها تلك الأخوة عناية المسلمين بنشر الدين الصحيح والوعي بين المسلمين والاستجابة لداعي الهدى والاستقامة على طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى. قال الله جل وعلا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. فإذا سمع المسلمون قول الله سبحانه وتعالى أو قول رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس لهم خيار في أن يفعلوا أو يتركوا، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: ما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. وقال تبارك وتعالى: إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا. فمن مقومات الأخوة الإسلامية قبول أحكام الله جل وعلا في أنفسنا، في أهلنا، في أموالنا، في كل شؤوننا. فلذلك فإن ذلك من أعظم تلك المقومات.
Another important issue that will strengthen the Islamic Brotherhood is this matter of spreading the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and making awareness of this deen prominent amongst the Muslims, and spreading this guidance and explaining this guidance and being upon istiqama or uprightness regarding this guidance. And so that there is in within the hearts of the believers an acceptance of what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said regarding the matters of the deen. And in this regard, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when you are called to that which will give you life. And that the believers understand that they have no choice in this regard. When the call of Allah is given, or when Allah states a matter, or when the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given, or when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states a matter, that they have no choice but to submit. As Allah says, verily, it is not for the believing men or the believing women that they will have any choice in a matter after Allah has decided a matter. No choice except the submission. No choice except the submission to what Allah ta'ala has said. So we must accept, have qubul or acceptance of what Allah ta'ala's orders and what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders regarding our family, regarding our wealth, regarding all matters of our lives. We must have a willingness to accept it and submit to it.
ولذلك عد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من السبعة الذين يظلهم الله في ظله: يوم لا ظل إلا ظله، يوم الحاجة إلى الظل، يوم تدنو الشمس من الخلائق فيلجمهم العرق بحسب أعمالهم، في ذلك الوقت تتجلى تلك الأخوة الإسلامية. فقد ذكر أن من هؤلاء السبعة رجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وافترقا عليه، يعني لا يجمعهم إلا الحب في الله ولا يفرقهم إلا الحب في الله. يتعلقون، يحب أحدهم أخاه كما يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. ولذلك جاء في الحديث الآخر: ثلاث من كنا فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان، وذكر منهما: وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله. يعني يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله، لا يحبه لدنيا يصيبها، لا يحبه لطمع في ماله أو جاهه أو أموره الشخصية، وإنما يحبه لأنه أخوه في الإسلام، غنيا كان أو فقيرا، قويا كان أو ضعيفا، صغيرا كان أو كبيرا.
And one of the most important issues regarding this brotherhood, or what has been expressed of regarding this brotherhood, that is the reason of an individual being one of the seven types that will be under the shade of Allah. One of the seven types that will be under the shade of Allah on the day there will be no shade except at the shade that Allah Ta'ala provides. The day, as the Sheikh Hafidhullah says, where the sun will come near and everyone will be wanting that they will have some shade from the sun, it will only be given to certain people, and amongst them that I mentioned these seven types are, as an individual, two brothers who love one another, only for the pleasure of Allah. They gathered together upon that love, and they separated upon that love. That nothing brought them together except that they love one another for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Similar to hadith also, that three matters, if one possesses, he will taste the sweetness of Iman, the actual sweetness of Iman. And he mentions part of the hadith saying that he loves a person and he only loves them for the sake of Allah. He loves a person and he only loves them for the sake of Allah. So he loves his brother not for a matter of dunya, not for a matter of worldly matter, not for a matter of position, not for a matter of prestige or personal issues. He loves his brother just for the sake of Allah. Whether his brother is rich or poor, whether his brother is weak or strong, whether his brother is small or older, has nothing to do with the issue. He loves him only for the pleasure of Allah. This is one of the individuals who will be the type of the seven that will be under the shade of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
من أعظم مقومات الأخوة يا عبد الله المحافظة على الصلاة جماعة، حيث يلتقي المسلمون بعضهم ببعض في بيوت الله سبحانه وتعالى. ولذلك بشرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ببشارة عظيمة: ما اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه فيما بينهم إلا غشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة ونزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله في من عنده، جعلني الله وإياكم من أولئك. فإذا يعني من هذه المسألة من أعظم أسباب الأخوة، وعندما يلتقي المسلمون في بيوت الله جل وعلا يتدارسون أحوالهم ويكلم بعضهم بعضا ويسلم بعضهم على بعض ويصافح بعضهم بعضا، فتتحات ذنوبهم وتسقط خطاياهم من جراء تلك المصافحة كما بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذه الأخوة العظيمة تنمى بمثل هذه الأمور، وكما قلت صلاة الجماعة من أعظم أسباب تنمية هذه الأخوة، ولذلك فإنها واجبة على أهل الحي الواحد الذين يسكنون في حي واحد ويسمعون الأذان.
Another issue that strengthens the brotherhood and nourishes it and enriches it is preserving or being constantly in the preservation of Salah and Jama'ah, always gathering to make the congregational prayers together. For in this regard, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have given the believers the glad tidings that no people gathers in the house of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it, except that the mercy of Allah tabarak ta'ala descends upon them, and that the angels enwrap them, and that Sakina, or mercy of Allah, envelops them, and Sakina comes down upon them, and Allah tabaraka ta'ala mentions them with those who are with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the greatest blessing that will come from guarding or making the salah in jama'ah or in congregational prayer. Similarly, the Muslim will find out one about one another and know the circumstances of each brother's situation, and also saying salam to one another, and also shaking each other's hands. When they shake each other's hands, the sins will be removed from them by doing that act of shaking each other's hands, and all the other issues of brotherhood. So there's no doubt that making congregational salah in jama'ah, coming together, is that which nourishes, strengthens, and enriches the brotherhood. And because of this, he says that it is wajib upon the people in a certain area collected together that they make salah in jama'ah, providing that they hear the adhan.
ومن أعظم مقومات الأخوة التراحم بين المسلمين بأن يتفقد بعضهم أحوال بعض، فيعطف الغني على الفقير والقوي على الضعيف، فيتراحمون فيما بينهم، لأن الله جعل بينهم هذه المودة والرحمة والألفة والأخوة الإسلامية التي ذكرنا أنها تفوق كل شيء، فيجب علينا أن نعنى بها، فيعطف بعضنا على بعض ويرحم بعضنا بعضا ويساعد بعضنا بعضا، والله تبارك وتعالى في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه، فاجتهد في أن تلقى أخاك ولو بوجه طلق، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق أي بوجه يعني نشط بوجه فرح بوجه منشرح لا تقابله مكفهرا غاضبا كأنك قد وتر أهلك ومالك أو قد أخذ أهلك ومالك وإنما قابل أخاك ببال منشرح وبوجه طلق وبشعور المسلم نحو أخيه المسلم.
Brotherhood is to show mercy to one another, to show mercy to one another, and this is by trying to find out about one another's situation. Always being concerned about your brother in the proper manner, asking about him and so on and so forth, wondering his condition. And he said this is on all levels, that the rich should be concerned about the one who's poor or has less wealth than him. The strong one should be concerned about the one, of course, who is weaker than him, and so on and so forth. There must be in all situations. This brotherhood covers all aspects, love and mercy and affection for one another. And remember the fact that Allah Ta'ala, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, Allah will help you so long as you are helping your brother. Allah will help a servant so long as that servant is helping your brother. Also that when you meet your brother, that you meet him with a smiling face, that you meet him with a nice behavior, that you meet him in a manner in which you are happy, or you're expressing the expression of happiness is on your face. Not in a manner of someone who's angry or depressed, or someone, as the Sheikh Hafidhullah says, who looks as if his wealth has just been taken or his family has just been taken and he's frowning and so on and so forth. This is not the proper manner to meet your brother. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not look down upon any good deed, no matter how small, even if it be by smiling in the face of your brother. Even if it be smiling in the face of your brother. So he must meet him with this Muslim expression of smiling and of happiness, and to enter upon his upon the heart of his Muslim brother some also some happiness and like this.
وقد صور الله تبارك وتعالى الأخوة الإسلامية بين المهاجرين والأنصار والذين أسلموا بعدهم في أبهى صورة وفي أعظم صورة فيما جاء في آخر سورة الحشر. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. هذا في حق المهاجرين، أخبر أنهم خرجوا من ديارهم ابتغاء وجه الله وطلبا لفضل الله وفرارا بدينهم وحتى يقيموا شرع الله تبارك وتعالى على الوجه الذي يرضيه، فانتقلوا إلى إخوانهم الأنصار وأكرموهم وآووهم وآخى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بينهم، حتى إنه جعل أنه يرث بعضهم بعضا إلى أن نزلت الآية تبين أن أولي الأرحام بعضهم أولى ببعض في كتاب الله جل وعلا، وسنذكر مسألة الأنصار بعد ذلك.
And Allah تبارك وتعالى spoke in Surah Al-Hashr at the end of it regarding the Muhajirun and the Ansar, showing the utmost level of this brotherhood. He first starts by talking about the Muhajirun, those who, as he has said, subhanah, they were kicked out of their land. They went out only seeking the blessing of Allah tabarak ta'ala, only trying to establish the deen as Allah tabarak ta'ala is pleased with, that they in fact were the truthful ones. And therefore, they were the Muhajirun. They migrated from Mecca to Medina. And when they came to Medina, they found help and support with the Ansar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established brotherhood between them to a degree where he even said that they should inherit from one another. And to the verse revealed that their family members have more right in that regard. So this is the Muhajirun, the immigrants who migrated from Mecca to Medina. And now he would talk also about this verse about the Ansar.
وصف الأنصار وكيفية إيثارهم لإخوانهم المهاجرين حتى على أنفسهم، قال تعالى والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في أنفسهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. بيان ذلك أن الله تبارك وتعالى وصف الأنصار واستقبالهم لإخوانهم المهاجرين. فقال والذين تبوأوا الدار أي المدينة، الذين سكنوا المدينة وهم الأوس والخزرج، فمن الله عليهم بالإسلام بعد أن كانوا يعيشون حروبا طاحنة فيما بينهم، فألف الله بينهم أولا ثم ألف بينهم وبين المهاجرين ثانيا، فبين أنهم تبوأوا الدار والإيمان أي من سكنوا الدار التي هي طيبة، المدينة النبوية مدينة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، من قبل أن يأتي المهاجرين. والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم، والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم، والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم، يحبون من هاجر إليهم وهم من المهاجرون من قريش وغيرهم، يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا، يعني مهما أعطوا مهما بذلوا فإنهم يفعلون ذلك بصدر رحب وبشراح صدر وبطمأنينة، لأنهم يبتغون بذلك وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى، ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة، أي يقدمون إخوانهم المهاجرين على أنفسهم وإن كانوا ذوي حاجة، وإن كانوا يعني لو كان بهم خصاصة يعني لو كانوا يعني فقراء، فإنهم يقدمون إخوانهم المهاجرين على أنفسهم فيما عندهم. ومن يوق شح نفسه أي من يكفيه الله تبارك وتعالى بخل النفس فذلك هو المفلح الفائز في الدنيا والآخرة. خلاصة ذلك أنه أثنى على الأنصار واستقبالهم لإخوانهم المهاجرين وتفضيلهم إخوانهم حتى على أنفسهم، ويصرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة، يعني يقدمون إخوانهم على أنفسهم، وهذا هو الإيثار. وأي أمر أعظم من أن يتنازل أحدهم عن بعض زوجاته لأخيه فيطلقها حتى يتزوجها أخوه المهاجري، ويتنازل له عن نصف ماله، كل ذلك بسبب الأخوة الإسلامية الراسخة التي لا تعدلها أي رابطة على وجه الأرض.
Then Allah تبارك وتعالى in the same surah explains the Ansar, and He explains the Ansar as being those individuals who were believers and who had were in Medina before the Muhajirun came to them, that there were those who settled in Medina, in the city or the area of Iman, before those Muhajirun came to them. And these were referring to Aus wa Khazraj, the two tribes of the Ansar, who between themselves had hundreds of years of war. Yet Allah Ta'ala was able, or Allah Ta'ala brought them together upon the heart of one man, or gave them unity and brotherhood between themselves, so made them close brothers. Then he also made brotherhood between the Ansar themselves, consisting of Aus and Khazraj, with the Muhajirun who migrated from Mecca to Medina. And that when that day, those who migrated them, that they loved those who migrated to them. The Ansar loved those who migrated to them, and they supported them, and they found no difficulty in spending whatever they were asked in support of their brothers. They found no difficulty in that whatsoever. To the degree that Allah Ta'ala says about them, that they preferred others to themselves, even though they had particular needs. Preferred others to themselves, meaning that a brother would be poor, and he would have particular needs, but he would prefer his brother, what is called ithar, that he would prefer his brother to himself. He said they had nothing of selfishness, as Allah says, and he who avoids the selfishness of himself, he is the one who will be successful. So this is how the Ansar radiallahu anhum were. They preferred their brothers who came to them. What greater ithar, he said, preference is it than a brother who has two wives to divorce one of them for the sake of his brother so that he can marry one of his wives? What greater ithar or preference is it than a brother who has or will give his other brother or his brother half of his wealth? This is the greatest ithar that he said is grounded in the well-grounded or well-rooted brotherhood that no other connection on earth can have any type of level, can come to any type of level with it, or any type of comparison with this great brotherhood.
ثم وصف من جاء بعدهم من المؤمنين الذين أسلموا بعد المهاجرين والأنصار بقوله والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. أي الذين أسلموا بعد المهاجرين والأنصار من مسلمة الفتح ومن أسلم قبل ومن أسلم بعد، فإنهم يدعون الله تعالى أن يطهر قلوبهم وأن يرزقهم المحبة في الله وأن يطهر قلوبهم من أي غل على إخوانهم المسلمين، فيلجؤون إلى الله تبارك وتعالى بأن ينمي هذه الأخوة وأن يزيد تلك المحبة وأن يطهر قلوبهم من أي حقد أو حسد أو بغض أو كراهية لإخوانهم المسلمين الذين تربطهم بهم وشائج الدين وشائج الإسلام وعرى الإسلام القوية العظيمة التي لا انفصام لها.
Then Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala mentions those who came after them. Yani those who came after the Ansar al-Muhajirun. Those who became Muslims after them. Yani rather that be those who came Muslims after the Fatah of Mecca or before the victory or opening of Mecca or after that. That they are making dua that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala forgive those who preceded them iman. Preceded them in iman being the Muhajirun and Ansar. They are asking Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala for clean hearts regarding their brothers. They're asking Allah Ta'ala that they have love for their brothers just on the basis that they love them for the pleasure of Allah. They're asking Allah Ta'ala to remove from them any hate, any envy, any dislike, any disdain that they may have for their brothers, and that those brothers be forgiven, that Allah Ta'ala grant those brothers maghfirah. Those, because these are the individuals who built the foundations or who struggled and strived and uplifted the Islam from the earlier generations of Islam, that being the Ansar and the Muhajirun.
فالواجب علينا أيها الإخوة في الله أن نعنى بهذه الأخوة وأن نغرسها في قلوب إخواننا المسلمين وأن نجتهد في إزالة جميع العوائق التي تحول دون تحقيقها وأن نبذل كل ما نستطيع في توحيد صفوف المسلمين على كلمة سواء، ولن يكون ذلك إلا بالتنازل عن حظوظ النفس وباحتساب كل عمل نقدمه في سبيل ذلك عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. فيجب علينا أن نعنى بذلك كل العناية وأن نجتهد في تقوية هذه الرابطة التي يحاول أعداء الإسلام تفتيتها.
So after all of this, our brothers, it shows that we have an obligation to be concerned about this brotherhood and about raising ourselves upon this brotherhood and about placing this brotherhood, this true Islamic brotherhood, in the hearts of all of our brothers and to try to remove all the obstacles that prevent us from actualizing this brotherhood, from making this brotherhood a reality. And that we try to gather the Muslims upon the ranks of the Muslims upon one word. And this cannot happen, he said, unless we take out the desires of ourselves, unless we show utmost concern, and we strive with the utmost striving to present or to sacrifice or to spend that which is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala in regards to the brotherhood. So this is something that is a must for us to do, to show concern in enriching and in actualizing this Islamic brotherhood, that which the enemies of Islam are trying to wipe out or erase or tear apart from us.
وَمَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ مِمَّا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِمُقَوِّمَاتِ الْأُخُوَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ لَيْسَ قَاصِرًا عَلَى الرِّجَالِ دُونَ النِّسَاءِ وَإِنَّمَا جَمِيعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ إخوة في الله يحب بعضهم بعضا ويحترم بعضهم بعضا ويجتهد بعضهم في تخفيف آلام البعض. فالأحكام التي تنطبق على الرجال هنا أيضا يخاطب بها أخواتنا المؤمنات، ف فينبغي بل يجب أن يشعرن بهذا الشعور نحو أخواتهم ونحو إخوانهن، وأن يجتهدن في تنمية ذلك دون ما تعصب لدم أو لون أو عرق أو شكل أو وطن أو قوم أو قومية.
Also he said, all that I have said from the verses in the hadith and the other matters regarding those matters that strengthen brotherhood should not be understood that it's just meant for the men, but in fact it is meant for the women also, that they must also be about these matters to strengthen the sisterhood, for there should be there amongst the sisters also all that has been mentioned, love for one another, respect for one another, a striving to remove the pains or hardship from their sisters. They must show this concern also, and it must be based up on the pleasure of Allah. It should not be based up on color or blood or geographical location or language or tribe or nation or anything of this nature.
أيها الإخوة وأيتها الأخوات، سمعنا هذه النصوص الشرعية في أهمية مقومات وفي أهمية تنمية هذه الأخوة الإسلامية والعناية بمقوماتها، فعلينا أن نطبق ذلك تطبيقا عمليا وأن نجتهد في سبيل ذلك حتى تتوحد صفوف المسلمين على كلمة سواء، ولن يصلح آخر هذه الأمة إلا بما صلح به أولها، كما قال ذلك إمام دار الهجرة الإمام مالك بن أنس رحمه الله تعالى. فالطريق إلى ذلك هي العودة إلى الله والاستقامة على طاعة الله والاجتهاد في العبادة التي تقربنا إلى الله وفق هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والعض على ذلك بالنواجذ إلى أن نلقى الله تبارك وتعالى. نسأل الله الكريم بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى أن يحقق هذه الأخوة على الوجه الذي يرضيه، وأن يجمع كلمة المسلمين على الحق، وأن ينصرهم على أعدائهم، وأن يوحد بين صفوفهم، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
He said, so all my brothers and sisters, we have heard the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam, and that the manners of enriching it and nourishing it, and the concern that should be shown for strengthening it. Now it is upon us to practice what we have heard, to strive in this matter, to actually put into practice what we've heard regarding the brotherhood and strengthening the brotherhood. And this can only be, he said, by us returning to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and worshipping Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala according to the book, his book, and according to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For it is, as Imam Malik said, nothing will correct Imam Dar al-Hijra, Imam Malik rahimullah, nothing will correct the latter part of this ummah except that which corrected the first part of this ummah. So it is a matter of sticking to the book of Allah and sticking to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and binding up on it with our molar teeth until we meet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala up on that. And he asks Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in his best names and most highest qualities that he bring us together upon a brotherhood that pleases him, and that he make us overcome or help us to overcome our enemies who are trying to separate us. And he said the last of his dua is saying, praise be to Allah, Lord of all creation.